Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello, everyone. Welcome to yet another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm excited because I've got a great guest today, but also this is number 199. We're almost there. Episode number 200 is coming up, folks, and we've been at this for almost 4 years, and we're excited about the business leaders that we featured here on North Fulton Business Radio. And just a reminder, we are coming to you from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank in Alpharetta, and are excited about the work that we've been able to showcase here and the guests we've been able to showcase over those years. But let's get right into it. Today, you're connected more than ever, whether it's your friends, your family, or your life. Renaissance understands how you bank, offering the mobile banking services that you need. Renaissance also knows that sometimes you need to speak to real people with real answers in real offices that you can actually find, like the one we're in. That's why they have more than 190 convenient locations throughout the South ready to serve you. For more information, go to renaissancebank.com, Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Sumaya Khalifa. Sumaya is with Khalifa Consulting. She's the president and founder. Sumaya, it's great to have you.
It's wonderful to be with you, John.
Yeah, great to have you back, actually. You're a return visitor, and we're glad to have you back.
Thanks.
Yeah. So just give folks a little overview of your firm and what you do, how you help folks.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, we are based in Metro Atlanta, and we are a network of intercultural experts covering the whole entire world, and we work with leaders and organizations as they open up markets and as they work with different parts of the world. And we are also working with them right here in Metro Atlanta because the world is here in Metro Atlanta. So people who run organizations that have people from all over the world and different cultures, we help them bring their teams together to work better together and to impact their bottom line.
So the world's coming to Atlanta. But Atlanta, it is. It keeps coming and further diversifying. But there are companies here that are sending folks out to the world too, right?
Right. Yeah. And then also companies are bringing people from everywhere in the world to Atlanta,
sure,
as executives, etc.
Yeah. So a lot of work in terms of coaching and cultural education, both outward bound and inward bound.
Absolutely, yes.
Awesome. So let's talk a little bit about some of the, I guess, the specific issues that you work on, because you're working both with individuals, executives, and teams, right?
Absolutely, yes.
And yeah.
Organizations.
Yeah, yeah, talk a little bit about that work.
So the executive coaching, we have a wide variety of clients, but just to give you an example, somebody who is from Africa or who is from Europe and moving to the U.S., taking up a very high position in an organization, and they really don't know the U.S. culture. They have been really, really good at what they're doing in their home country or maybe a third country. But when they come here, they find that, gosh, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to communicate? Do people understand me right? Am I communicating properly? Do I get them? Do they get me? And they're not very aware of their own culture now, aware culture, and we work with them to help them understand. Just to give you an example, a high-level executive with a Fortune 100 company who has to come up with a legacy project for the CEO of the company. And she had lots of different ideas. And so part of the coaching session was to go through the ideas and what would really resonate with her CEO. And so based on that, we came up with what would work within a U.S. cultural context. And she is a superstar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then that's what it's all about at the end of the day, right?
Absolutely. Helping people be successful in
sure.
different cultures.
You mentioned something there that I think is interesting. And that is that folks come out of their own culture, or they're bound by their own culture. They're so into it. They're like a fish in the water. The fish doesn't know it's in the water, right? Yeah. Until it's out of the water. Yeah. Maybe that's a good metaphor for that.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm going to use it.
Okay. Be my guest. But you're you're really helping folks understand more of as much their cultural background and what that projects as the culture that they are entering into.
It's raising self-awareness. That's the first part of it. Raising self-awareness, giving them awareness of what their new environment is like, identifying what is the gap and what could be some of those gaps that would create barriers for them, and what do they want to do about it. So it's not going in and say, okay, you've moved to the U.S. or you've moved to England, so all of a sudden you need to be U.S.-ish or, you know, British or whatever.
Sure.
No, it's making decisions. We want people to be authentic, and we want them to be very successful.
Let's talk a little bit about you personally, Samaya. You're from Egypt originally.
I was born in Egypt.
Yeah. So talk about your journey and how you got to Atlanta.
Wow, that's a long journey.
We've got time.
Okay,
come on.
Great. Wonderful. Yeah. Well, I was born in Egypt, stayed there for the first few years of my life. Both my parents were medical doctors, and my mom received an opportunity to come and further her research, medical research, in Dallas, Texas. She had received a lot of offers, but somehow they chose Dallas, Texas. And so I used to go to French Catholic school, and so did my sister and also my brother. And all of a sudden they came and said, okay, we're moving. And we said, what? Just realized that we did not speak English. I only spoke Arabic and French.
Oh, wow.
And just knew a few words in English. And so we all moved to Dallas, Texas in June, and it was very hot. Just as it was in Egypt. And so that was a commonality.
Mm-hmm.
But my world really turned upside down. Mm-hmm. So this is one of the experiences that I take with me to my clients. So when I work with my clients, I bring my whole life to them. Later on, my parents decided that they're going to stay in the U.S. and became U.S. citizens. All of us did. And fast forward, have an undergraduate degree in chemistry. And the reason is, both my parents wanted all of us to be doctors, but it just did not work out.
Right.
I found my passion to be in human resources, got my MBA in human resources, worked for Fortune 100 companies here in Metro Atlanta.
Mm.
And by the way, you know, between all that stuff, I got married and we moved. My husband is the reason why we came to the Metro Atlanta area. He had a job offer and we decided, okay, let's do it. And so that's how we're here. And we've been here for 31 years.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's a long time. So
yeah.
Most of my life I've been here. And did a lot of stuff in human resources, including diversity and inclusion. My job was eliminated and I had to kind of figure out what did I want to do when I grew up. And so I wanted a job or something to do that brought my whole me to my clients. And that was the intercultural world.
Mm. Wow. But you had a lot of experience in that within the confines of Fortune 500 or Fortune 100 companies.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. That's great work. Samaya Khalifa is our guest, folks. If you just joined us, she's with Khalifa Consulting. She's the president and founder, as you just heard. Let's talk a little bit about diversity. Mm. So lots of talk about what diversity is, maybe. You might want to address that, but why does it matter beyond the obvious?
Well, diversity is everything that we have in common and everything that makes us different. Mm. And a lot of times we think of diversity as race and gender,
mm-hmm.
and maybe, you know, different generations in the workplace, and maybe sexual orientation. And let me give you an example of why diversity is important, right? And I'll give you a couple of them. A while back, a soft drink company was going into Egypt, and they came up with a brilliant, brilliant idea for a billboard. And it was a storyboard, and it was a young man running through the desert. He was very tired, you know, just like really looked really bad. And then the second picture was him drinking their drink. And then the third picture was him being refreshed and ready to take on the world. And they thought they're going to get some really awesome returns because of this campaign. Well, what happened is they were unpleasantly surprised. They missed one thing, and that is people in Egypt speak and write Arabic. Even though they had the billboard in Arabic, the pictures were not in the same order. So for Arabic, it's read from right to left.
Mm.
So people read it as the strong, happy, you know, refreshed young man was doing really well. He drank their drink, and he became really beat up.
Oh,
and
boy.
So that kind of worked against them. And not having the right people at the table and looking at what we're doing in business and providing input could have a very negative effect. And another example that came out not too long ago, and maybe many of our listeners remember it, and that was H&M. Where a couple of years ago, they had a an ad of an African-American looking child, beautiful child, and he had on a hoodie. And the hoodie said, "Coolest monkey in the jungle."
Oh, dear.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that was really a negative, negative thing for the company. And they came out and apologized, but the damage had already been done.
Sure. And that's damage a company may never recover from.
Potentially, yeah.
Potentially. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, you know, I think there's a lot of studies that have been done. I'm familiar with some of them that in terms of the returns that companies show because they have a diverse workplace.
Absolutely.
That they're more than the companies that whose workforce is not less diverse.
Right. And maybe the study that you're referring to was done by McKinsey and Company, and they found that companies that are in the top quartile of gender diversity were 21% more likely to experience above average profitability. Mm-hmm. And then those with ethnic and cultural diversity, that number went up to 33%. So it is a business case to have diversity.
Yeah, and you mentioned some great examples, because those the examples you mentioned have some real cost to them. I mean, the wasted money in that campaign, the rebranding that's got to get done, the apologies that have to be made, all that costs money.
Exactly.
It's a real bottom line.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about how you work with companies. I mean, what does an engagement look like? And maybe you can talk a little bit about the kinds of clients you work with.
Our clients are very diverse themselves, from, you know, executive coaching to a an organization who might have Muslim employees, and what are some of the reasonable accommodations they might need, and training their supervisors and managers. Because a lot of times when employers and managers hear the word religion in the workplace, they will just roll over and play dead, right? What is it that you need? Let me give it to you.
Right.
But actually, you know, the employer has rights too. And so what is it within the reasonable accommodation mode that employers can and don't need to do?
Sure.
And so it would be cultural awareness. It'll be understanding. It would be a safe place for people to ask their questions. We also conduct training and consulting on, you know, moving into a new market, whether it's in the Arab world or anywhere else in the world, how to market, how to understand the different groups that the organization is going into. And it's really, you know, with the larger companies, they have more dollars to do this and maybe not get it right the first time. But medium to smaller companies, they don't have that luxury. Mm-hmm. So we find that our return on the investment of using us is much greater.
Sure. You mentioned accommodations in the workplace. Let's talk a little bit about that, because you're a leader in the Atlanta Muslim community. You've got this HR background. Let's talk about what are reasonable accommodations for Muslims in the workplace when it comes to prayers, headscarves, some of the issues that are unique to Muslims?
Sure. So, you know, not all Muslims follow the religion. It's a very diverse group of people. And so if a person follows their religion and they do want to pray, then the reasonable accommodation from the employer's side is to provide a space where a quiet, private place where the employee can perform their prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the prayers change every single day. And the employees don't need an extra, or should not be given an extra break to be able to do their prayers. The accommodation comes in from the employer to move their break around to be able to do it when the prayer becomes, you know, due.
Sure.
And so those are all things that we talk about in the training, and realize that the prayer times changes every single day. Just to give you an example, the sunset prayer in December is about 5:30 in Atlanta.
Right.
And in July, it's more like closer to 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, understanding that makes a lot of sense to people, and they could be able to reasonably accommodate their employees better.
And doesn't it, I mean, it makes, I want to get into Ramadan in just a second, but it makes intuitive sense to me that if you're an employer who understands these issues, accommodates your employees and their individual ways of observing their religion important in the workplace, that you're making yourselves an attractive employer. I mean, a place that folks want to come work for, and you've got loyalty from your employees, right?
Absolutely. The word gets out.
Right.
That I work for XYZ company, and let me tell you, they understand my needs, and they're providing reasonable accommodation, and more people want to apply. And not only that, but also the marketplace. They want to buy their products.
So let's talk about Ramadan and the issues around Ramadan that employers need to be aware of.
So Ramadan is a lunar month, and every year it's 11 days earlier. So in 2020, it's expected to start on April the 24th. And the reason is that Muslims actually wait for the moon to be born, and the night before, that's when they find out that Ramadan is tomorrow. It's a big excitement. Mm-hmm. And so it's a total fast from dawn to sunset, no food, no water. And when employees are working on the production floor, et cetera, it becomes a safety issue. Mm-hmm. So employers need to know about that and then offer, talk to the employee and find out how they could accommodate their needs. Maybe they want to switch shifts, or maybe they want to, not take their lunch break until later or leave early or whatever it is that would work for them. Mm-hmm. The breaking of fast, the employees will really appreciate dates and water if they're still working. And I've worked with retailers across the country before where we talked about that, and they provided dates and water for the employees to break their fast. And that was a big hit. People, Muslims who worked for them, really appreciated the dates and the water. And the cost is very low. Mm-hmm. And so that was, a big, big, big plus for that employer.
Yeah. And again, we're not talking about things that cost a lot of money for the company. We're just talking about low-cost ways to show that you understand and that you're interested in the lives of your employees.
You care
about your employees.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. Folks, we're speaking with Samaya Khalifa, and she's the president and founder of Khalifa Consulting. But Samaya, you also are very active in the, as I mentioned before, in the Muslim community here in Atlanta, specifically with the Islamic Speakers Bureau. So talk a little bit about your work there.
Sure. That's my baby.
Yeah.
And started the Islamic Speakers Bureau in 2001. August 18th, 2001.
Wow.
Yeah. What
timing that was.
I know. That's just lovely.
Wow.
Really. We started to just being a source where people spoke about Islam and Muslims who knew what they were talking about versus folks who had a hidden agenda and talking about it. And we have evolved through the years. In 2014, we had the 100 Influential Georgia Muslims, which helped create narratives and share narratives about American Muslims that are not usually shared. Mm. And in 2016, we had the 40 under 40 Georgia Muslims.
Oh, wow.
And in 2019, we started the first ever leadership institute targeting the Muslim community, but it's open for all. And we graduated our first class last year. So we were very proud of that, and we're going through our second class right now. And this year we're partnering with CFAL, which is a United Nations organization, to bring the Leadership Institute to our 18 cohorts this year.
Wow. That, you made me tired telling me all that. That is great work and a lot of work to get to that point. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you have speakers that go out to a variety of community groups, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about where they go.
Oh, they go to faith organizations, churches, synagogues, anywhere. you know, our rotaries and what have you. Mm. They go to schools, they go to universities. Sometimes it's just a private group of people reading a book or just anywhere and everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's great. That's great. I'm interested in the impact of, the Muslim community in Atlanta has a big impact, but let's talk specifically, we're business here, so let's talk about Muslim-owned businesses in Atlanta.
Absolutely.
Yeah, tell us some about that impact here in the Atlanta economy.
Sure. When we did the 100 influential Georgia Muslims, we were surprised ourselves to find the impact of Georgia Muslims on the economy of Georgia. We found that about 10% of all medical doctors in the state are actually Muslim. And and that's a big number when you look at about the population of Muslims is about 1-2% of our population. Mm-hmm. So in Atlanta, there's about 125,000 Muslims. That's a guesstimate. And in Georgia, 150,000. We found them besides being doctors, engineers, professors, and what have you, business owners. One business that really is a great example is Aventure Aviation. And what they do, which is very a niche market, they have spare parts for airplanes. And this, they were recently awarded the best exporter for the state of Georgia. So they're doing great work. And when you visit them in their warehouses, you see the planes that we ride on every day. You see a seat, you see this, you see, oh my gosh, you know, how can this be? I only see planes all put together. Sure. So it's really fascinating, fascinating business. And their president is Zahir Faruqi, and he has been recognized for so many different things across the state and the world.
Wow, that's awesome. And creating Georgia jobs.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. So have you done any work around the impact of Muslim-owned businesses in the economy? I mean, what that adds up to in terms of the, because that would be very interesting.
That would be interesting. Yeah. Unfortunately for the community, it's a little bit, we're just trying to get our arms about how many people are here first and what they do. And we're doing a study right now that's looking at that.
Okay. Awesome. Great stuff. So, well, this has been great, Samaya. I want to get back, though, to your business, and let's make sure folks know how to get in touch with you. We'll get to that in a second. But talk a little bit about the kind of clients that you work with that are good fits for you and folks that ought to be in touch with you.
We work with our clients when we meet them where they're at. So small businesses, we work with them to help them as they explore new markets. Mid-sized businesses, the same thing, but we also do coaching for them. We do training for them. An example would be a mid-sized company that had interest in Saudi Arabia, how to, and they had presence here in Georgia and in Saudi Arabia, and they had breakdown in communication between the two teams, how to bring that communication back together, how to conduct meetings, how to do negotiations in that market. And for larger companies, we work with them, again, executive coaching. We find out what is it that they're trying to do and provide them with tools. We have also worked with organizations, really big names, where they wanted to do videos and publish books about their accomplishments in certain countries. And we made sure that the translation of their work was appropriate in the language, as well as the images and the narrative that went with it were appropriate versus, you know, not appropriate and sure. causing more problem than helping.
And it sounds like, I mean, maybe this is obvious, but then here goes a company and they put up a billboard that really sets them back. Folks really need to be in touch with you maybe before they go and make a commitment or go hire certain people or whatever, right?
Absolutely. You know, we're here to help, and we don't want you to waste your time and have an unpleasant experience.
Right. That makes perfect sense. So, you know, one other lots of questions I could ask, and we're kind of getting toward the end of our time, but I want to come back around to something you said about the way you get folks to negotiate, okay, and talk about, look, I'm interested in the different styles of negotiation that people might run into on the front end when they're trying to develop a new market or hire an employee or whatever.
Right. So in different markets, in my area specialty is the Arab world, mm-hmm. is relationships. Mm. So and a lot of times the U.S. American mindset is more of a task oriented. We got to do this. Let's get in there and do it and move on. But that has caused, setbacks in negotiations. Mm-hmm. Taking time up front, building those relationships and getting to know people, drinking that coffee, drinking that tea, answering how's your health today or how was your trip or whatever.
Sure.
It really pays off.
Yes.
Really pays off. But being in the mindset, let's get it done, let's sign the paperwork and move on, that does not work.
Right.
So we work with them, understanding who they're working with, understanding, just to give you an example, not too long ago, I did a training session up in Virginia for a company that had a very strong interest in the UAE and doing a multi-billion-dollar project there. And they thought, we went to the UAE and they're just as modern as we are and their mindset is the same as us. But you know what? The facade doesn't really tell you what's below it. Mm. And so we had a whole two-day training session about how to understand the UAE market, how to understand the leaders there, and how to negotiate. And they, even though they thought they knew it, after the training, I said, well, we really did not know anything.
Right.
And they really appreciate it. And I just heard that they got that deal. So that is something that I'm very proud of.
Yeah, that's awesome. I said I was going to wrap it up. I got one more question.
Sure.
So I'm curious about, you mentioned outward bound, trying to develop new markets. So what advice do you give companies? And I know it depends on what they're selling, but in terms of the markets in the Middle East that they should pay attention to, I mean, what are the great markets right now that maybe companies should be trying to enter that they're not in right now?
Oh, there are so many markets there, right? So the auto industry is really big in Morocco right now.
Mm.
The solar energy market is huge, mm-hmm. especially in Egypt. It's going to be the largest market for that. Egypt has over 100 million people population. So entering that market has got a lot of potential upside to it.
Sure.
You have also Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Kuwait. So there's so many different markets in that region of the world. And a lot of it is not totally tapped yet.
And, I think a lot of us in the West, and specifically the United States, we look at all these markets and think they're all homogenous, right?
Not.
And they're not.
They are not. They are not. Understanding nuances
mm-hmm.
within each of those markets, and also, how to maneuver through that, and understand, politically, economically, there are so many different layers to understand. Demographics, this whole area has the youngest population.
Okay, folks, I'm going to cut myself off, but I think it's clear you need to be in touch with Samaya Khalifa, Khalifa Consulting, if you've got any issues around diversity, being involved in the Middle East in some way in terms of your business. Lots of things there to unpack. So Samaya, let's get folks in touch with you. How do they do that? Tell them how to be in touch.
Sure. Our website is khalifa.consulting. No.com. So khalifa.consulting, khalifa.consulting, or call 678-523-5080, 678-523-5080. We look forward to hearing from you.
This has been great. Samaya, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, John.
Folks, let's talk about some other headaches you might have, whether it's administrative tasks or bookkeeping, marketing, presentations. Maybe you need a workshop done, prepared, planned. Well, got an answer for you. A smart and reliable office angel will fly to your needs. They're not a temp agency or a placement firm. Office Angels matches your business support needs with angels who have the talent and experience necessary to help you maintain and grow your business on an ongoing or as needed basis. Your terms, your timeline. They lend a hand when needed and fly off when the job is done. Find out more at officeangels.us or call Chief Executive Angel S.E. Escobedo at 770-442-9246. And I strongly encourage you to call S.E. because I use her services and she is awesome. Folks, just another reminder that you can listen to this show every Tuesday morning live at 11:30. We also have special shows throughout the week as well. If you miss any of our shows, don't worry about it, because you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, Google Podcast, Overcast. Should I keep going? Your favorite podcast app. How about that? Or go online, if you wish, to NorthFultonBusinessRadio.com. You can find not only our most recent shows, but our entire archive, all 199 of them, and they're growing. So check out our business leaders there, like Samaya, whose great work that we have featured over these past 4 years. You can also find us on social media at NorthFultonBRX. That would include LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. So for my guest, Samaya Khalifa, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.
Renaissance Rewards Extra is the checking account that checks all the boxes. Roadside assistance? Check. Cell phone insurance? Check. More than 400,000 local shopping discounts? Check. Up to $25 per month in ATM refunds and a great rate? Check. All in an easy-to-use mobile app. To open an account or find out more about Renaissance Rewards Extra Checking, go to renaissancebank.com or visit us at any of our more than 190 locations throughout the South. Renaissance Bank. Understanding you. Member FDIC. Equal Housing Lender.